Are you sure you want to open Instagram? You opened Instagram 2 times today. Limit 3, so it's my last time.
Do you want to see what the alert says when you are over the limit?
Do I really want to know? All right. So, okay. So, opening this Instagram right now. Let's do a story now. Let's do a story. Here we go. Recording the podcast. Yay. And here. Backstage. And front stage. Yeah, the podcast. All right. So, I'm going to open Instagram again.
Okay, let's see what happens.
F*** you. You're over... You're over daily limit, you f***ing addict. Okay. And that's it.
It just closes.
It just closes.
It won't let you launch it.
So what we did here, apart from saying, you know, some not nice words, is the fact that I have this Instagram icon here, and it's a workflow. Workflow, which you did, right?
Yeah. And it doesn't allow you to open Instagram, you know, the actual Instagram more than X times in a day. It's sort of self-imposed limit because it forces you to be conscientious if you actually wanted to open Instagram, or are you really just compulsively tapping it because you're bored?
Exactly. And because Rafał has this addiction, you have this addiction, I have this addiction.
You have this addiction. Everybody has this addiction.
Yeah. So we have that. And you know, let's see how this goes. But actually, right now, I have this icon on my home screen, like on my first home screen.
Yeah.
I've never had Instagram on my home screen because I didn't want to be compulsive. But if you have Instagram hidden, you will still find a way.
Yeah. Your compulsion just has more steps.
Exactly. So now I'm just pressing here, and then I'm either allowed to do it or I'm being cursed at.
Yeah.
So let's see how this works. But so far, so good. I like it. So our podcast was very interesting. Our Marcin audio. Our Marcin was sleeping like a baby. So we have been discussing very important issues here.
And
thanks for paying attention. Not.
And Rafa was holding his breath, and I was like. That's what I remember anyway.
Hello, I'm Michael.
I'm Radek.
And this is The Podcast.
A sounding board for interesting ideas and insights. We discuss books we really want to share with you.
As well as technology and productivity, which is what we do by day, working on our app, Nosby.
Or whatever else comes to mind.
That's correct, and we're back
together, live
in the same place
for the third time this year, and it's only April still.
Yeah, we're on a good track record.
Yeah,
so we're meeting again, and this time it's our semi-annual Nosby reunion.
Yes.
So as you know, in our company, everybody works from home, so everybody we don't have an office. There is no office. Hashtag no office, and because of that, we meet twice a year to reconnect.
Yeah,
to recharge batteries, to like to meet in person,
yeah,
and to spend time together, also to work together, and it's Friday already, so we can usually come on Monday and we leave on Saturday morning, so this is our last day.
Yeah, we're closing to an end. Oftentimes, twice a year, we briefly discussed what we've done, what we've learned on the Nosby reunion. But we've done it many times, so we'll just link in the show notes to the previous episodes on Nosby reunion where we discussed that. But also, after we record this, we will have the closing sort of keynote of yours, and we'll probably do...
It's not really a keynote, it's more like a lessons learned session.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Like we'll do a little retrospective and try to come up with what we've learned from it so that we can organize those better next time and every time we screw something up, so...
Yeah. But that's the whole idea. We always experiment on each reunion. Experiment something new, something different. More of this, more of that, less of that, whatever. Like, so we keep iterating. All right. And one of the things we do on every union, and we did it this time as well, is we discuss productivity. So because everybody works from home, it's good to share tips and tricks, like what helps you get stuff done, what helps you, you know, wake up in the morning and be, you know, productive, or what helps you communicate with others, what helps you work with others and with and on the stuff that you're working on. And this time you did a short presentation based on what we discussed here, and we'll link to these episodes also in mm-hmm. the show notes.
Just a couple of weeks ago, we discussed my way of planning the day and the week, and this is what I've briefly discussed. And then we had a session where everybody shared some of their tips and tricks about productivity, maybe some app that they use, some technique, some way of automating what they do, whatever. And that's really interesting because you and I are quite similar in the needs the problems we face in our productivity, but others are wired differently and have other needs and other solutions to them. So it's always interesting to hear those, just how different everybody tries to make their productivity, their life at work a little bit better.
Yeah, and also is this thing that we discuss a lot. These things, and we keep on improving, and so you know, and people from the team are not listening to this podcast, which is sad. But anyway, so that's why we every half a year we share and we decide. You know, we share like when we exchange ideas, and I've learned a few things and from other people, so it was good.
Yeah, same.
Yeah, because of that, we thought that here we will share new productivity. No, we will share how we use Nozbe at Nozbe. Because, you know, over the course of last 140 episodes, we hardly spoke about Nozbe. What is this app? We we have one episode where we shared how we use it privately for our private projects and tasks. And this time we want to share how Nozbe is quite a good tool to actually communicate with others, with the team, through tasks, especially, not exclusively, as a remote team, because as a remote team, we have to communicate better to make sure that the person on the other end actually knows what we want from them.
Yeah. So, we're going to discuss how we use projects and how we communicate to get our stuff done. And much of that is very much specific to our team and our company. So it's not so much us trying to sell the tool in general, more than show a case study of how we apply the tool specifically to our problems. And many of those solutions that we use are quite sort of specific to us, right?
Yeah, we want to share how we communicate with projects and tasks. The thing is, which I always advocate, that teams and people in teams shouldn't communicate through email. Mm-hmm. Email sucks for communication. It's great to establish a link for communicating, but to get stuff done together, email is rubbish because the communication gets mixed with, you know, useless email, and you just are stuck in email basically the whole day. So I encourage people to use different tools to communicate. It can be Nozbe, it can be a different thing. In our case, we want to share how we use Nozbe, but more how we think differently and how to communicate effectively using a different tool than email.
Yeah. So many episodes ago, quite early on the show, we had this episode about the hierarchy or pyramid of communication tools, yeah, where we explained how different tools are good for different things. So most companies either do email or in-person meetings. It's sort, yes, of binary. And we find that neither is very good most of the time. It's good some of the times, both meetings and email. But most of the time, you want to preserve as much as possible the productivity of other people. So yeah, you want the communication to be asynchronous. So you write something, you don't disturb them, you don't have to get the answer immediately. You just ask them the question and give them time to answer, just like email. But unlike email, there are better tools, Nozbe, where you structure things in tasks, but also specific for specific kinds of work. For example, for programmers, it's GitHub and et cetera, right?
Yes.
To put stuff there so it's more organized, unlike email. So you should definitely check out that episode to hear an explanation of the sort of base concept. But in principle, the conclusion from that is that we want as much as possible, as much communication in the company, as much collaboration as possible to happen in asynchronous tools, in Nozbe, where we have projects for different, projects and areas of interest for the company and tasks that have specific actionable goal. And then the steps needed to get to that goal, when people need to research something, communicate together, most of that can be done in the comments there, not by constantly interrupting people on Slack or in person.
Yeah, it's like, any other, as you said, in any other tools that can be used like that. For example, in Google Docs, when you write a document, it's very cool that another person can be live watching how you type. Mm-hmm. But actually, it doesn't make any sense for them to watch how you type. But once you, like, for example, write the document in Google Docs, what the cool thing is that this other person can open the Google Docs and comment on sections of what you just wrote, and then you can refer to this feedback. So this is the asynchronous communication. You do something in your deep work, link to the episode in the show notes. So you do something, you ask for feedback, and this other person gives you feedback when they are ready to do it.
Mm-hmm. So that is pretty basic, even though people in companies don't truly get it, don't internalize it really. But let's focus on the specifics, as yes, we've discussed the concepts already. And I think one thing that's worth explaining in the very beginning is that, in Nozbe, you have projects, and projects you have tasks, and in tasks you have comments. But projects are, some people think of projects in the most strict dictionary sense, yeah, of the word. And that can be misleading. Can you explain that?
Yeah, of course, because and we lack a better name than project, actually.
Yes.
The thing is, people refer to projects as something that has a beginning and an end. Mm-hmm. So I'm doing a project. It's going to start now. It's going to finish later. And that is also what happens. But very often, a project is something that never ends. It's like a shared list of things to do, a shared list of tasks. So I would say there are two different words, like list of tasks and projects. But in Nozbe, we call them all projects. And I think in Nozbe, these projects, again, they can be private, so only for you, or they can be shared. So we can invite people to participate in the project and add tasks there and comment and do things.
Yeah, so if you have a company that does things for clients, then usually most of your projects will be the projects in the strict sense. You have a goal, you have a project, you have to achieve something, and then it's done, and you don't come back to it. For us, for product companies, it's a vast minority, mm-hmm, of projects. One rare example of a project is, for example, the project for the Nozbe reunion, for organizing the Nozbe reunion.
Exactly.
And after it's done, it's done. But most of the stuff is really like folders. It's lists, but those are weak words, so we just call them projects. But mm-hmm. But for example, as we work on our product, the Nozbe app, our projects are really areas of the app, but they never end generally.
Mm-hmm.
They're continuous because the product is continuous. It never ends. It keeps developing.
Yeah, I mean, even the Nozbe product, like, we just keep shipping a new version. So like it's never done, It's although people might think, 11 years in, it should have been done by now, right?
Yeah.
So an example for me, like, I have a project called CEO. And in this project, I share it with Natalia and Magda, two of my assistants. And it never ends. The CEO stuff keeps coming. But this is where we share the information, what to do, how to respond to people, how to get stuff done. So this is a basic example of a CEO stuff container, like project that never ends, that mm-hmm. keeps, that is ongoing, because as long as I'm not fired as the CEO, I'll be in this project.
That's correct. And one project which is, I think, the most unlike projects is a project called The Firm.
Yeah.
And it's not even really a list of tasks, because those tasks are often more like
issues or
discussions. They're just things, right? So The Firm is our sort of company announcement board.
Exactly. Yeah, it's where we discuss current issues. Like somebody says, "Oh yeah, I need this from people. Let me know who is available or who wants this." Or, you know, are we going to organize ourselves in this way or the other way? What do you think, guys? Like, so and our project, The Firm, and we use it like that. We structure it like that because, again, the advantage of it is the fact that there's one task, so one issue, and over there are comments from everyone who wants to participate. If we would put this question on Slack, it would quickly disappear in the stream of chat. And here, at least, you know, we have structured comments, structured discussions on issues.
Yeah, let me try to rephrase that. So, for example, from time to time, you have a bunch of stuff that you as the CEO want to convey to people, and also ask questions like, "Hey, here's the news. Here's how the second quarter has been doing."
Right? Exactly.
And sometimes you record a video about that, and if you posted it on Slack, it would have very quickly drowned in noise, and there are other sort of threads ongoing on the same channel, and it's a mess, right?
Yes.
And we don't want to expect people to be on Slack and immediately see it and reply to it before the conversation turns somewhere else. And by just making a task for everybody, linking it and asking, "Hey, feedback," everybody will see it in their own time. They'll just get a task in they'll see in the new comments. They'll read it when they want to.
Actually, what we do, and there is the trick we use in Nozbe, is that, for example, I have this new announcement I want to make, and I want to feedback from you guys. So what I do is I create this task, I put the details information in the comment of this task, and then I schedule it for next Friday. So for Friday, and I put delegation of the task to responsibility for anyone. So this way, it's a trick that in Nozbe will send a notification to everyone on Friday that there is this thing from Michael. And then because Friday is different, TGIF, I expect people that on Friday they might find the time to actually read what I have to write and send me some good feedback. And then after Friday happens, I actually go back to this task, and then I schedule it for example Monday, just for me. Mm-hmm. So to just, or Tuesday, for example, to, you know, go through the feedback, reply to people, and then be done with it.
Yeah, another example is a recurring every week task that Rafa, our product manager sitting behind the cameras, has, where he posts a link to a weekly report because, you know, the developers don't know everything that's happening with marketing and vice versa. So this is sort of cross-company way to see everything that's going on without tracking it day to day. Or another example of a sort of non-project like that is one for us scheduling our time off.
The Firm vacations. And yeah, then everybody reports who wants to take vacation. So and it's nice because it's very transparent. So anyone can see the comments on this project. But usually, you know, there is a whole process. So you ask your superior, about, you know, can you take this time off? And then they say yes, delegate it back to you, and then you delegate it to our VP of finance to make it official.
Yeah, and we also have a shared company calendar so that everyone can just see it in their calendar. But it's just this way because there's some back and forth sometimes. Yeah. And it's just all there, yeah, also in Nozbe and not in private communications. It's for everybody to see.
Yeah, sometimes it's useful because especially in a remote team, sometimes people are saying, you know, I'm traveling to this and this town, and then somebody else might say, hey, I will be there, you know, at this time, or you know, let's meet or for a coffee or something, or yeah, you know, true. So sometimes these, you know, it's not just sheer asking, you know, for time off, it might start as a conversation, you know, between two people to just, you know, meet. And again, as a wholly remote company, no office company, we actually enjoy meeting each other. So whenever we have a chance, it's like two episodes ago when Radek came to visit me in my hometown. Like, you know, whenever we can, we try to see each other.
Yeah. Let me explain to you how, from my perspective, as a developer, most of the projects I work in NSB sort of look like. So we usually make for NSB a new project for the new cycle. So whenever we have a new version of NSB, we just create a new project, and it's not really so much that it is treated as a project, because things spill out, there's always too much that's possible to do, and then it just goes to a new one. But we do it this way mostly for sort of technical reasons, because this way, when we try to estimate work on specific tasks, then statistics are reset since it's a new project, right?
Yeah.
So we create every cycle, every version, we create a new project, put tasks there, and after it's done, we create a new one and move tasks there. Right? Then there's the backlog with everything else that we've already decided we want to do. But
we never got around to doing it, actually.
Yeah, but it's not scheduled for this cycle, for this version. It's it's for later, right? There's also a number of backlog-like projects for specific areas. Mm-hmm. So, for example, there's the iOS app, iOS/Mac app project. There's the Android app project. Well, again, not really project, like area of the app, and there's a backlog for that. Every sort of big component where there's more than like 30 or 50 tasks, and there's a ton of tasks in total, just gets a new project. There's also a general dev project, which is sort of like the firm, but just
for developers.
So it's like not specific to it's not necessarily actionable stuff, but it's stuff like
issues.
Like issues. Hey, we need to discuss something, or hey, here's a cool new tool I figured out. Maybe we should research that, or maybe we should see if this developer tool will, you know, enhance our developer experience, make our work easier, or something like that.
Okay, so let me stop you right there. Just as you have already listened to us, there is another thing, another nuance. Like, one nuance was the fact that project is not necessarily a project; it's a list of tasks. Second nuance, as we just said, they might not be tasks.
Yeah.
There are tasks, but very often these tasks are not tasks, but are, you know, common threads, like issues, things we want to discuss, ideas. And again, I've already witnessed that when I was discussing with some clients, with our NSB customers, they were saying, yeah, but this is not a task, so it shouldn't be done. Like you know, people are very, like, very sometimes very fixed into this mindset. When it's a task, it has to be done. And as you can see, very often our tasks are just discussions. And because we find that they are in the same tool where we get our stuff done, through the mechanisms of delegation, you can, or mentions, which we just introduced in NSB 3.7, you can ask somebody for feedback, ask somebody to join you to discuss things. And also, they're structured. So again, we try to discuss things on Slack, but it never works, because it's just too much noise. It just gets too fast, too quickly. And when it's NSB, everybody can find this time to get around to it, to get around to participate in a discussion or you know, discuss an issue. So as you can see, even with the tasks, we are pretty loose. We're not so strict that it has to be actionable. It has to be done. You know, like, we just take advantage of versatility of NSB, that we can, you know, use these other mechanisms to actually make the discussion meaningful. And and since everyone in NSB is in NSB, like, to get them involved.
Yeah, exactly. It's really tricky from design perspective, because it's best when it's used like that, like we use it, because it's an abstract tool. It's, you know, a project, a task, or containers, right? They're malleable. You can use them for whatever it makes sense for. But at the same time, you want to explain it to new users for their primary function, because if you use a weak abstract word like list and item,
thing,
people wouldn't get it, right?
Exactly.
But it's sort of tricky, because for some people it breaks their heart, because like, no, it's called task. You should make discussions. Like, no, we already have discussions.
Yeah, exactly. The discussion happens in the comments of the task.
Yeah.
But it's not a task. It is, but then it's not, you know? So.
All right. Another thing I like that we do in projects is the NOSBI feedback project.
Oh, yes.
So the idea behind that is that when someone in the company who doesn't necessarily work directly on the product, in the sense that they're not part of the design team, they're not part of the development team, but they see something that, well, they have an idea that they think they, you know, we could improve the app like that, or they see an issue, a bug, then instead of going through the quote-unquote proper route, for example, when you find a bug, there's a
contact form, you can send email to support, right?
No, I mean, for us internally, there's on GitHub, there are issues, right?
Yes.
And there's a template for that. But you also have to figure out the exact steps to reproduce it, which devices it, you know, maybe it's different in different browsers, maybe it's already been, the issue has been raised. And what we do instead is we have this feedback project for everybody in the company to just like quickly jot out a note when they have an idea or a suggestion or a bug. And then, Rafał, if it's a feature, or Kamil, if it's a bug, we'll figure out what to do with it next. Oftentimes nothing, because it's been already
fixed.
It's a known issue, but other people in the company might not know that, might not care about, you know, going through our structure. So it's sort of like an inbox from the whole company to the development team to give feedback.
Yeah, I would like to, you know, from this point here, I would like to give a big shout out to Rafał for not being judgmental on me, because very often I'm just reporting things. Rafał, it doesn't work. Look at this. And he's like, calmly, okay, don't worry. It's a known issue. We've already fixed this. And I'm like, okay, good. That he's, you know, he's not, I hope he's not pissed at me that I'm just, for me, like, I just found a bug. But on the other hand, I feel like if I find a bug, even though, as you said, I might not know that it's been fixed or whatever, I just leave it to Rafał to decide what happens with that. I don't have to, it doesn't force me to now do the research and ask him, interrupt him. You know, Rafał, has this been fixed or whatever? I'm just doing a task. And I know they will handle this. Rafa or Camille will just take it from there, and they will tell me it's been fixed, or we'll work on that, or tell me more, right? Mm-hmm. So me, as just a NOSBI user, I have this internal project that I can just, you know, send the feedback, and they are patient with me, and they can just tell me back if it's, you know, what's happening here.
Yeah, and it also helps, you know, in the sense that It's rare that you, for example, come across some bug or some issue that's just so bad that you can't work with it, and you care very deeply about it. Sometimes it's like, huh, that looks broken, right?
Exactly.
And you notice it and you want to report it, give it to Rafał, but much of the time you don't care so much what happens next with it. So you just give it to someone else. Yeah. You don't have to follow the whole thread.
Exactly. It's the 2-minute rule. Like, you know, I see something rare, I take a screenshot, usually on my iPad or iPhone, and I just, you know, create a task, send it there, and I'm done with it, you know? So it's like, it's thanks to this fact that we made it so simple, that there is this project, everybody has access to it, like, we make it really easy for people to report issues.
Mm-hmm. We also have a tiny, not very active these days, but we have a small group of our longtime power users, and we have a project with them. So they also have this sort of semi-internal way of sending us stuff that doesn't have to go through the support team. It just gets directly to Rafał.
Yeah, that's true. Also, we have this very big project. It has only 8 tasks. Okay, not 8, but the other 8, so infinite tasks. Feature requests. And I love this project, because the whole support team is putting feature requests there, and very often if they are similar, they put them like in the, you know, as comments. So very often by the number of comments, we can already, you know, see if some feature is very popular or not. And for me, like every Friday, I really enjoy going through this project, through the unread comments there, and just to see what kind of things people are struggling with, you know, what kind of things people are fighting with, which really features they really need or they really want, or which kind of solutions they are asking for. So we really read every feature request. We don't, you know, react to every feature request, but we do read them. In a sense, we don't react in a sense that we just don't implement them right away. But it's for us, this, having this internal project of feature requests, it's also a good benchmark to seeing, you know, what people are, you know, struggling with.
All right. Another kind of project that we have, I have a couple of them, is what I call loose tasks.
Yes.
Right. So in Nozbe, you have the inbox, which is the project that's not a project, where all the tasks that don't belong to any project go to. So for example, if you quickly add something to Nozbe through Quick Add or through email or through share extension, or if you add a task to the priority view without, you know, assigning a project, you'll live in inbox. But the idea behind inbox is that it's sort of temporary. It's a dirty desktop that you're supposed to clean up after at the end of the day and move stuff to the right products, right? So the inbox is supposed to be kept clean. Like, you know, you want to get to inbox zero, just like with email, right?
Yeah.
But sometimes there are still these tasks that don't really belong anywhere else, and tasks that are for me. Like I don't, they're private. I don't want to share them, at least not yet. Yeah. Oftentimes I have tasks where I have like a task, I come up with some things I want to discuss with someone else, with you, with Rafa, with whoever, or something I want to just discuss, but I don't want to ignite the thread just yet. So I jot down a couple of notes, and then when the time comes, I move it to another project or discuss it with someone else, right? Mm-hmm. So instead of keeping that in inbox, I have a project called Nozbe Loose Tasks, where I keep the loose tasks, the tasks that don't belong anywhere else, ready to work there. And that also helps because I have the other project, which is the loose task for sort of non-work tasks. Yeah. So it's kept separately. And also sometimes I have private projects for specific sort of big areas, big projects. So for example, we have our hashtag secret project, and I have the hashtag secret project loose tasks,
mm-hmm.
right? Yeah. Where I have things that I don't want to share just yet. And they're kept separate. They're, you know, it's more than two or three, so I want to keep them separately from the sort of general company loose tasks. Another sort of private project I have is we have our The Podcast project, and I have my The Podcast private project, where I keep my ideas for future shows.
Exactly. So I also have a few of these of private projects, which are not private. They are private company projects. So yeah. Company related.
Private, but not personal.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. But not personal. So the idea, again, as you said, it's to start, you know, jot down ideas. Again, we discussed this, proactivity, you should jot down ideas. And then later, if they graduate to an issue or to a thing that we can share, I'll do just that. So I'll share it with somebody or move it to a different project. Also now, as one of the things we were talking on this reunion was the fact that our VP of Finance is setting up individual projects with everyone, so that they can, you know, fully communicate with him only through Nozbe and not through different channels. So also, you know, it's a new thing that we just are trying.
Yeah, another interesting sort of variation of the private, not personal projects are the what we like to call sort of silos.
Oh yes.
Mm-hmm. So it's a long running joke, but essentially when we have like two people collaborating together, like sort of not in the open, but together before they show the work to the rest of the company, we call it the silo. Long story. And so, for example, me and Hubert, our designer, we have our silo project where there's just the two of us. So when we have our sort of design experiments that we want to present on Design Fight, we want to keep the process sort of in private, so that we get to a polished enough state before we get feedback from other people, so that you know, we don't want our process to be you know, in the middle of the process to have comments from people who are not convinced that it's a good idea before we finish crafting our story, right? Mm-hmm. And also it's also the fact that some of the things are sort of really rough drafts and nobody just needs to see them because it's not good work just yet. So we don't want to contaminate other people's inboxes, so to speak, with that stuff. And so I have the silo project, and I know you have multiple silo like projects.
Oh yes, so the one that I mentioned, like for example with Magda and Natalia, that the CEO project, but I have also other projects with other marketing team members. Mm-hmm. I wanted to mention that for this reunion we actually had three projects. So one project was this project for everyone to decide on the hotel, to discuss the whole thing. Then we had a silo project on the gadgets, like for example this shirt.
Of course.
So we had a whole gadget project, and we only shared with just a few people because we like to surprise when we give away gadgets. Again, it's a long-running tradition that every time we meet, we figure out some gadgets.
Yeah, and this time around, the gadgets are quite esoteric, most of them, like a roll of Nosby adhesive tape. So it was quite a surprise.
Yeah, this was because we just ordered too many of them. So that we thought, somebody might use it. It's fun. But for example, what we got very sports-related gadgets. So for example, mm-hmm. the sport shirts and towels, Nosby towels.
Oh yeah, the microfiber.
Exactly.
Yeah, they're great. We discussed them when I was describing how I managed to pack for Panama in
the
backpack.
Exactly. So I thought, it might be good, to give everyone a microfiber towel. Yeah. So there was a silo project. And then I had my private project for the reunion where everyone I wanted to talk to or everything I wanted to do here was a task. So mm-hmm. this way, it was just for me. So this way, I don't forget that I want to, discuss things. Like, for example, with you or I don't know, with Rafa, with the directors. We had I had a whole, task with lots of checklists to do with to discuss with directors in person. And, other issues I wanted to do here. Mm-hmm. So again, a private project, a silo project, and a company-wide project just for this one reunion.
You actually have also two private projects for the reunion because I have my packing template.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So right? And then I have my packing template, I have my sort of travel template. And I briefly discussed that I have this workflow sort of script that I can give the name of the travel and it'll create in Nosby two products, one for the travel, like the post-travel checklist and a couple of other things that I always have to do, and the packing checklist. And I also, would make extra tasks aside from the standard travel tasks for like stuff I want to discuss with other people.
Exactly.
Yeah. Should we discuss also how tasks go through different places in the development team?
Yeah, it's a good idea.
Yeah, so here's where this our collaboration doesn't end with Nosby, right? Mm-hmm. Because a lot of the communication on development, programming specific things happen on GitHub.
Yes.
One thing is that we have our issues, like the bug reports are in GitHub issues, just because it's easy to, it's sort of, designed for tracking bugs, mm-hmm. and it's easier to connect it in different discussions to pieces of code. But when we develop a new feature and the beginning of the code is done, there's a pull request made, and a pull request on GitHub, for those of you who are not programmers, is a bunch of code that's new that's also a discussion thread, right? Mm-hmm. And so the idea is that before there is a pull request, before there's code, all of the discussion on a task, on a feature, happens in Nosby. So where there's a back and forth about how to exactly go about it, how it should work like, how it should look like.
Yeah, where's the documentation?
It goes back and forth between different people to like exactly prepare a spec or whatever. Mm-hmm. It happens in Nosby. And then the moment where the first draft of the code is done, as the top comment in Nosby, the last comment, there's a link to the pull request. and then everything else happens in the pull request. And in the perfect world, these two tools would be better connected so that it's easier to, you know, yeah, we don't have to jump back and forth between two discussion threads. But the reason why we keep the rest of the communication in the pull request is that a lot of the issues, the discussion that comes up after the first draft of the code is linked to code.
Yeah, right? To lines of code, exactly.
To lines of code. So in the pull request, you have the diff, so the difference between the before code and the after code. And then when we go through code review, someone reviewing might spot an issue in code, right? So they would, you know, add a comment to a specific line of code and say, hey, this is not the way it was supposed to be. And someone else replies, hey, are you sure? And mentions Hubert to confirm and stuff like that, right? So it just, from that point onward, it's connected to code. Or even when ideas change last minute, exact mm-hmm. implementation, you see the discussion in relation to comment. So the individual sort of pushes off new code. So you see that, oh, there was this comment, but it was before these changes. So there's no doubt about, you know, what the comment is connected to, which point in time. So, you know, ideally we want to connect them a bit better, but it's a good trade-off because we have everything in Nozbe, but then when it's sort of real, when it's code, we discuss there, we merge the pull requests, and then when we do that, we close the task or are delegated to the tester or whatever.
Yeah, the flip side of this kind of division between, you know, the comments on the code and comments on the thing are that, you know, in a Nozbe project, you can invite more people to participate. So, for example, I am in most of these projects, and if I want to, you know, say something, which normally I don't because, you know, I know you have got this all figured out, but I can. And I can also follow the conversation, you know, follow the thread, how this feature came about to be. But then I don't really care about the code anymore, you know? So this way, like, you give me like a bunch of information which actually might be interesting for me, mm-hmm. but then the uninteresting information for me happens on the GitHub, where I also have access if I really want to, but usually I don't. So this is where you discuss the nitty-gritty, the code. So I like that.
Yeah, sometimes there's a need to ask someone who's not usually involved in the development process, and everybody in the company actually has a GitHub account as far as I know. So
now it's true.
You know, I can mention you, but the problem is that you don't use GitHub. So even, you know, you'll get an email notification and you don't, you know.
I don't use email.
You don't use email. So that's a problem. So generally, I would still, if I did that, I'd just mention you again in the task.
In the task, yeah.
So that's not ideal. Maybe someone else in the world uses both Nozbe and GitHub and just writes a bot for everybody to use.
Yeah. All right. I would like to say that, you know, in Nozbe, one of the features that we have to group projects together is called labels. And I use labels right now because of you very extensively. So before you were telling me how you use labels, I was loosely using them, you know, to group some projects together. Now I'm very religious about them, about it. So every project has at least one label. And this way I can divide, like, you know, zones or, you know, things I work with. And because I wear different hats, I have like three main labels that I use to group my projects together. One label is CEO. So all the administrative projects are grouped with this label. So I can very quickly in project list just, you know, group all the projects with the CEO label. And then I can switch between that and between, for example, my product label. Product are all the projects that you just mentioned, like the dev projects, you know, all these, you know, other projects related to the product, to Nozbe, the app. And then my third one is marketing. So I have all marketing related projects also grouped in the same way. And then I have, of course, as I mentioned before, private label, or my private projects are grouped together, just like we discussed on the previous show, that this way I can go enter private mode when I'm off on the weekend or on vacation. And basically that's it. These are my main labels. I also sometimes, depends on the week, I use a focus label where I just put a label to a few projects which I want really want to focus on. Mm-hmm. But I'm not that religious about it. It depends on the week when I really want to, I want to just dive deeper into these projects. I do it.
That's interesting. I didn't actually know that you did that. I knew about the labels for the private projects, but I didn't know you also categorize through labels your work projects. For me, that's not very useful. What I do is when you have a project marked with a label, where this is useful is for filtering. So you can filter the project lists and you can filter the priority lists so that you can only see tasks in those projects.
Exactly.
Right? So for priority, I don't need that because either, when I'm at work, I either want to see just the first or just the frog we've discussed a couple of weeks ago, link in the show notes. Or I'm doing shallow work, in which case I want to see all of the tasks. And then after work, I switch to the personal label, right? And the project lists, during focused work, I don't look at it, so I don't care. And I don't do what you do, which is you sort it alphabetically. I sort it manually, and I have this fake separator. So
yeah.
I keep my interesting, most important projects at the top, then the most important personal projects, and then sort of less important work projects, then another separator, and then everything else. Where I have to be in the project so that someone can mention me, but I don't really watch them at all, like support or marketing. Only if someone delegates something to me, will I see it, right? And so I don't have to filter through different work things in the project list because they're just manually organized in the way that makes sense for me.
Yeah, for me, one of the reasons, as you mentioned, is the fact that I have the list alphabetically, so this way I can really group things together. And second is the fact that I actually like filter my priority list through these labels. For example, the CEO label, then I know that I want to do the administrative stuff right now.
Do you still try to schedule stuff in the week so that different days are for different?
Yes.
Well, then that makes sense.
Exactly. So they are like, not even days, but like, for example, days basically, because like it's usually a big chunk of time, like 4 hours. Like, for example, I'm going to dedicate right now to administrative stuff. Then I just filter the priority list with the CEO label and all the projects that are administrative, tasks from there show up.
I also just noticed that you have a ton of projects with emojis at the end of them.
Oh, yes.
That's interesting.
I like emoji.
Yeah.
And they stand out better. And I like them. They're more fun. So the emoji, I like it. The popularity of emoji, what it did is that it's just, we don't offer any, like, apart from, color, we don't offer any customization for the product names. Mm-hmm. But with emoji, they're just more fun.
Yeah, you don't need to. There are emojis.
Exactly.
If you want to.
Exactly. And they're really pretty on the iOS. So.
Yeah. We have to wrap up real soon. But the last thing I will quickly mention is that we have a few product templates.
That's true.
The one I'm really aware of that I'm involved in ever is the version release template. So every time we're releasing a big new version or a hotfix, Rafa has a template for that because there's a ton of steps involved, and for different people, right? There's someone, me, building iOS and Mac builds. There's someone else making Android builds. Someone's for Windows, Linux. There's changes to be made in the help page and here and that, and push things to iTunes Connect and then on the blog, etc. There's a ton of steps for different people. And so we talk about checklists.
Yeah.
A lot, how you sort of semi-automate things by pointing out the exact sequence of things when you have repeating tasks for stuff like, payments.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't think about it. You just follow the steps that you figured out once and refined over a few times. And then you just do it instantly because you have confidence that you haven't forgotten anything. And having a project template with multiple tasks and then with multiple checklist items is the sort of higher order version of that. When you have something really complicated, you have a project template, right? And so we do that.
Yeah, I mean, some of the templates that we use company-wide is the weekly review template and the quarterly review template. I mean, not everyone uses them, but they are available, and I know some people use them.
I didn't know we have that.
Yeah, we have that. We have them linked in our company documentation, which actually happens on Dropbox paper. So, yeah, and I think,
you have a lot.
I have a lot of templates, but I'm just figuring out if I, for example, we also, because we process credit cards, we have to comply with the latest PCI recommendations and, you know, like security and whatnot. And with Tomasz, with our CTO, we also created a whole template because it happens every 3 months. So it, 3 months is this time that you already forget how you did it last time. So we really need a good template for that, you know, and then step by step. And this way we can, you know, every 3 months we're doing the audit. I mean, we are requesting the audit to make sure that we comply with the PCI and that, you know, NOSBI servers are secure, safe, and sound.
All right. Well, then that's pretty much it.
Yep.
Yeah.
Let's go and have the lessons learned session and our last dinner and then go home.
The last supper.
Yeah. Whatever.
And we'll see each other in a year.
Yeah, probably.
Probably.